Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where our sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
Right, thank you. Thank you very much. It's so good to be here. And we've had an incredible time in Orlando already at Faith Assembly. We had a four-day event down there, and we just finished up, and we just had some amazing testimonies shared last night even about someone that received their eyesight back and also back pain. She wasn't able to drive for 4 years. She drove herself to the conference yesterday, shared her testimony. She was completely rocked, totally just impacted by that. We did not, she didn't even mention her eyes until right before we finished praying for her back, and her back felt better. And you can bring it over here if possible. Yeah. And so then another person also came in a walker, saw him throughout the event in the lobby. People were praying for him, and they just would not let go or let up. And they prayed for him, and he no longer needed his walker. His leg was fully restored. No shaking, no jittering, nothing like that. Just completely and totally restored. And so that was just two every day. People went out for 5 hours a day. They received about 6 or 7 hours of teaching and about two worship sets per day for 4 days. And so that's a lot of immersion. And so it's immediately teaching, and then it's you go out and you do. And so that's what Power and Love is. That's what Lifestyle Christianity is about. And so last year we saw over 27,000 come out to these events all over the nation, Norway, Cape Town, Brazil, everywhere. And so it's just really amazing to see what God's doing through this model of a 3.5-day immersive teaching and training experience where you immediately you get taught, and then you immediately go out and you do, and then you come back, and then you go out and do. And so we make every lunch and every dinner time into a love in action event for people. They get together with less confident. The more confident get together with the less confident. They go out in cars. They go to the mall. They go to the gas station. Go to Starbucks. And we just see immense and incredible things happen. So it's just amazing to see what God's doing through just the ministry. And so I want to start out. I work with Lifestyle, do a lot of the media marketing stuff for them, but I did spend a lot of time in Dallas. It's kind of what brought me to Dallas was living in Dallas was working a lot with Fellowship Church. And Fellowship Church is a lot about hospitality, a lot about a love for the lost and seeing people encounter the Savior and get connected to their Creator and walking with Jesus. And so they provide people with an opportunity. Is there one more chair? Yeah. They provide people really with an opportunity just to hear the gospel in a way that many churches don't. And so it's just amazing the reaching impact they have in Dallas-Fort Worth. And Pastor Ed one time shared a story and a message, and it had to do with a food court that he, I don't know if you've heard of Canton, Texas, the largest flea market in the world, I believe, and it's massive. And so he and his wife were sitting there, and they were actually sitting down, you know, eating their meal, a chicken sandwich, and this sample lady came up to them, and they're under a covered awning, and it's 110 degrees. There's shoppers bustling by everywhere, and he and his wife are enjoying their meal, and the sample lady comes up from the same chicken restaurant that they had ordered their chicken sandwich from and says, "Hey, would you guys like a sample?" And they said, "No, we're already eating what you're sampling, what you're passing out. Why would we want a sample, you know?" And so she goes to the next table, same thing, offering people with a sample of something that they were already eating. And so his wife turns to him, and she says, "You know, wouldn't it be something like she could just walk directly outside the awning into the heat, into the sun, and ask people that are shopping, that are hungry, that have been walking all day around this massive flea market if they wanted something to eat, and this restaurant would blow up because the chicken's good, you know?" And so basically his thought process there was that she's serving the already fed. And so many times in our churches, you know, in our ministries, you know, we're the sample lady. We're sampling things to people that are already being fed the bread of life. And so question, you know, about that is, question is, you know, is that where we're at? Are we sampling samples of the Savior to people that are lost and are out shopping in the heat of the day that need some replenishing and refreshment? Or are we sampling people that have already been fed? And so, you know, are you a picnic person or are you the server? Who are you in that illustration or that example? Jesus said that he's the bread of life. He said that he is living water that no one would ever thirst again. And so how many could agree that we enjoy carbs in America? We love carbs. Carbs are good. And so Jesus called himself the cosmic carbohydrate, the bread of life, right? And so
That's right. We love carbs. Yes, he knew Jesus knew church people well. So, but what's interesting is that when you have an event at your house, you know, pastor was talking about his neighbors consider him the pastor of his neighborhood. And so he wants to have them over and connect them with Jesus and really pastor them in his home in the near future. And so, you know, he was talking about that, and he said that he feels like we're going to see, like, am I really their pastor or not? You know, they say that I am, but because they know he's a pastor. And so, so many times when you invite people to your house for a party or an event, you know, how it's as easy as a text, as an email, as a Facebook event, a phone call. Hey, why don't you come over, you know? And so many times people say yes. All they have to do is to be invited. But it takes a lot of work to entertain. We all know this, right? And so because of the work, sometimes we think, you know, it'd just be nice just to be home this week. Let's not have people over. Or the church calls and says, hey, we need you to be a small group leader. And they don't really put an expiration date on it. So you're like, okay, so you're asking me, small group leader, so people in my house every week for 2 hours a night for the rest of my life. And you're like, yeah, let me think about that. But it takes a lot of work to entertain, right? And so, you know, as we live out our lives, Jesus said that his food is to do the work of the one that had sent him. In John 4:34, says, Jesus said, is to do the work of the will of him who sent me and to finish that work. And so we live in a culture that's really in crisis, you know, a culture that's longing for a connection to their creator, walking in sync with their savior. God, the Bible calls Jesus the desire of the nations. And so people are looking for this man that we've encountered and have a personal relationship with. And so we must plan the church, the local church, this place, for those that have not yet encountered God and have not yet have a personal relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said in John 19:10, he kind of summarized his mission statement as being, he said, the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. And so that was Jesus' mission statement. That should also be our mission statement, is to seek and save that which was lost through the Holy Spirit in us. And so Luke 15, it talks about all of these different parables of lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. A party was thrown, though, when the son came back to his father. And so we see this paradigm and this emphasis on those things that were lost being found. And Jesus exemplified that throughout his life. And so sometimes I think we're surprised when we find people, sinners, that are sinning. You know, it's often that golfers do golf and swimmers do swim and runners do run and sinners sin, you know. And so it's not a surprising thing to God that we were all in that place at one time. We were far from God, and he wanted to have a relationship with us. But sin isn't something that we catch, you know. It's something that we're in, obviously, before we meet Jesus, and then he sets us free from that. And so we can turn to Christianity, and we can say that, you know, it's all about who we can stay away from. It can be that, or it can be who we can stay close to and how we can provide an opportunity for them to encounter that bread of life. And so 2 Corinthians 2:15 in the Amplified, it says, but all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, making us acceptable to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, so that by our example, we might bring others to him. And that's in the Amplified. So one of the amazing things about entertainment, about hospitality, about having people over to your house, is that they're usually one invite away, right? But so often we do the pushback from the table because it's a lot of work. Entertaining is tough, right? And so there's a lot that goes into having people over. We talked about that element of preparation. And so all of us have gone to restaurants, nice restaurants, places that put a lot of effort and energy into the atmosphere and the music and the ambiance and training the you know, waiters and waitresses how to say things, how to put your plate on your table, and the chef's very, very trained on exactly what garnishes to put on there and how to drizzle the balsamic vinaigrette on the side of the plate and some sort of strange shape. And it's just crazy. But, you know, many of the times you're enjoying this amazing atmosphere in the restaurant, and you're just soaking it in. The lights are perfect. The music's perfect. That's what you're paying for a lot of times. And what's happening, though, is sometimes if you get sat near the kitchen door, is the kitchen door will swing open and you hear crashing and banging and people screaming, and there's all kinds of chaos in the kitchen, right? There's a lot of chaos going on. It doesn't match the restaurant atmosphere at all. And so the way that the place smells, the way it feels, all of that is thought through, but the food is served in a creative and compelling way, yet there's chaos in the kitchen. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of work going into it. And so they're putting that work into making sure that the food is served in a creative and compelling way. And so each of us, you know, we're basically, when we're having people over, it's the same thing. We're not neglecting our family by spending a whole day preparing for the Thanksgiving dinner where we've invited guests and relatives over. We're not neglecting them. We're putting attention towards the guests. We're preparing for the guests and putting them first. But it's not easy, but it's still worth doing. And the presentation of that, it's huge. And Jesus said, John 6:35, I'm the bread of life, as I said. And so all of us, we have that bread in our hands, that living water in our hands. And as the pastor is the lead chef. He is the dude with the food. He is preparing the meal and bringing it to the table. We all have the opportunity every week to feed ourselves and read scripture. And the only reason, though, that someone's getting a half-baked version of Jesus, of this bread of life that everyone is in need of, the living water, as he said to the woman, is the fact that we're not serving it. Maybe we're not providing it. Maybe we're sampling, they're already fed, or we're not serving in a creative and compelling way and helping people realize the impact it's had on our lives. And so the first step is, of course, I said, the invitation. It's the text, the email. People are one text, one phone call away from that invite to the table, to Jesus, to experiencing the bread of life. And then there's the preparation stage, right? And so the nourishment that comes from that is our opportunity to fuel and is our fuel in life, you know, to serve others. The bread of life allows us to serve others. And so sometimes people say, man, that church is deacon possessed. That not demon, deacon. But that's when people are serving and they understand that chaos happens in the kitchen. Preparation goes into having people come to experience Jesus, coming to experience that bread of life. And so through that term, the deacon, actually what it means in scripture, if you go back to the original language here, it says that it means to wait on tables to such a degree that dust is kicked up in the process. And so you talk about chaos in the kitchen, talk about what a deacon, what someone with the serving gift in the church really looks like. It's that. It's really the effort and the energy that goes into the church, the local restaurant that's serving the bread of life. And so this table right here, this represents the church. This represents the pastor is coming and bringing the meal to the table. And we have an opportunity really for three people to always be in our midst on the weekend services as we get together, as we do life, wherever that may be, small groups, houses, buildings. But the church has an opportunity to impact three people. In the first chair, this chair represents someone that's a church, unchurched, it's far from God. Maybe they're a Christer, meaning they're a Christmas and Easter person, or a CEO, Christmas, Easter, and other special occasions. And so these people have figured out that their life isn't working. Their life is not going well for them. They're dysfunctional, and they're in our midst. And we figured out that one-third of the church, a biblically functioning Acts 2 church, should be filled with people that haven't yet fully met Jesus personally. They haven't fully entered into a personal relationship with him, because the church is only the church when it's about the unchurched. And so it's got to be about those that haven't yet come through the front doors. And so this is a church that this is a chair on the table. If you look at these three chairs, this is a chair that kept Jesus up at night. He came to seek and save that which was lost. This is his mission statement, and this should be our mission statement, is this chair. And so this is the chair of, it's the guest of honor. It's what we go through all that kitchen chaos for, is so that these people can be reached and this chair can be occupied. And so when you look at the stats of how churches are growing in America, you know, a lot of stuff's going on, but a lot of it is transfer growth. A lot of people are moving from place to place to place. And so we want people that really haven't experienced it yet. We want Christians as well. We want them to, you know, grow in intimacy, grow in knowledge and revelation. And we want to see Christians come to the Lord and really fully know him on a daily basis and know who he is. But more than that, the growth of the church, the local church, is going to depend on this first chair at the table. And so this is a rare commodity. This is what we're talking about. Jesus said that the fields are ripe for the harvest. He said, we just need laborers. And so people that we know, you know, many times we look at people and how many that we know, and you know people that I don't know. You know, you go to a different Starbucks than I do. You go to a different post office than I do. We all have the opportunity every single day to encounter people that none of the rest of us would encounter through our paths, our workplaces, our hobbies, everything that we're doing. And so in the midst of that is that opportunity to live out that lifestyle Christianity, to represent Jesus everywhere you go, and to show the world what it looks like to be a representative and ambassador of the kingdom of God. And so people should they should feel an aroma about us. You know, they should sense something different. They should smell something different. The bread of life is with us, and he lives inside of us. And we'll never fully understand what the local church is truly about until we brought someone to the table and we've had them sit in this chair. And we've brought them from chair one to chair two to a new believer in Christ. And so we believe that, you know, there's work in it. There's a lot that goes into it. But many of the times we forget to ask the question as Christians, as believers, as leaders, as elders, pastors, you know, question is, who are you reaching? That's a really good question to be asking yourself, your devotions time, your time here, your time in small group. Who are we reaching? Each one of us has a response that needs to be answered there, because Jesus wants to encounter people every day. And so there's so often, you know, you're reaching professional Christians. You're reaching, they float from place to place to place, and you could call them UFOs, unidentified freeloading objects, right? So, but they're professionals. You have that transfer growth, right? But God has called us, obviously, to love Christians, but he's called us to reach those that are far from God as well. Yeah, right. And so when we have, people over, you're thinking about your guests. You're thinking about that person that hasn't yet encountered the Savior. And so if you're at your house and you're launching into a story, you know, for those of you that are small group leaders, those of you that teach or preach or are involved here and communicate to people about Jesus, you have to think about that guest who's just entered the room. You know, you can't just start talking about things you talk about at the dinner table with your family and expect them to know what the inside jokes are, what all the lingo is, you know, what happened throughout the week. You have to update them. Hey, you know, I know you don't understand. Let me back the story up so you're in the conversation. And I think so many times taking into that first chair, you know, and keeping that person in mind is so crucial to understand, to help them understand truly what you're talking about Jesus, and helping the word get, you know, sink in and not be shallow and just kind of that seed just brushes off and is scattered down the wayside. So the deepest churches, I believe, are rescue churches. And the Bible, from beginning to end, is a book that's all about the rescue. God is a God of rescue. And you talk about, you know, so many illustrations, so many moments of rescue. Noah, think about Abraham and Isaac. You think about Adam and Eve. You think about Moses and Joshua. You think about Samson. You think about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. You think about Elisha. You think about David being rescued and Israel from Goliath and from the Philistines. You think about Jonah that was rescued from the fish. And there's just this constant tension of rescue that's going on throughout Scripture. And one thing that I love to illustrate and connect that with is something that you might be familiar with here in Florida. That's a marina. Everybody know what a marina is? Texas, we're landlocked. In Dallas, they'd be like, what are you talking about? But a marina is a place where boats obviously are parked and housed and tied up. And what's interesting about, if you go back and you really look at the history of marinas and how these places came into being, obviously they started somewhere, you know. And so these are collection of boats put together, and you pay a fee and you're a part of this club, this group of people that are covering the overhead. But where that all began was those boat owners years and years ago from day one, they had grouped together as a means of becoming a rescue society. And so they were going about their day, and they had agreed that they were going to communicate and work together to rescue boats in danger, boats that are in distress. And that's how it began. And so I think about so many believers, so many Christians, you know, that have taken up kind of a marina mentality. You know, we're smiling, we're on the dock, we're waving as the boats go by, and we're enjoying the day and enjoying the sun and the beauty, and it's amazing. And so we've taken up a marina mentality in that we're hanging out with the boats. The boats are in the shallow water. It's on the dock. You know, it's they're enjoying company together in the restaurant at the marina or whatever. But those rescue societies that originally got started were actually rescue societies of people that had agreed to go out to the waters of the deep, where people were sinking in their sins, sinking in despair, sinking in depression and alcohol and broken relationships. And they were out there to rescue people and to bring them back. And so Jesus is that life ring. He is the hope that when the rope is thrown, he is that hope. And Jesus is that ultimate life ring that we have the opportunity to throw. And so the church, as I see it, is not only a restaurant serving the bread of life, but it's also a rescue society from above. And so we, together, we can choose to move from the marina mentality out into the waters of the deep and experience really what deep Christianity is, which is truly operating just like Jesus did, you know, looking and seeking and saving that which was lost and finding people that are in the depths of sin and are gasping for air. You know, they're saying, help me, you know, and they're in literally seconds from being drowning. And that is truly where people are in their money and their relationships, in their drugs and everything that's going on in their lives. The dysfunction that they really truly want is the bread of life, but they're grasping in all the wrong directions. And we have the opportunity to bring them back through the rescue society from above. And so that's chair one. And so chair one is, should always be near and dear to our hearts, should always be a priority of the local church, is a third of our local church, whether that's small groups or whatever context that looks like. But those people should be coming into our fellowship, into our community, and realizing that they need a personal relationship with Jesus. And so the next is obviously the second chair would be those that have just encountered Jesus, just crossed the line of salvation. And they made a decision to come into the faith. And so they're getting baptized and they're going public with their faith through baptism. They're telling the world that they said, I do to Jesus. You know, they're putting on the wedding ring, the engagement ring of baptism, and telling others, you know, through that moment that they have made a full surrender to him and putting on the jersey on saying, I'm on God's team through baptism and getting off the bleachers and into the court as full court followers of Jesus. And so that's chair three. And so many times, you know, we talk about the church. We talk about wanting intimacy with the Lord and the importance of intimacy and the value of that. But oftentimes, this chair is sitting empty. And, you know, I have to think that sometimes that might be because we're declaring intimacy, but there's not reproduction that's taking place. And reproduction is a result of intimacy in marriage, right? We all know that. And so anytime that we say we're intimate with God, there should be spiritual babies. There should be growth happening. There should be sustained growth in our midst. And so chair two is all about, hey, when we're intimate with the Lord, the outcome of that is spiritual multiplication. Just like it is in the physical, that's the same in the spiritual. And so the church is the bride of Christ, and Jesus is our groom. And so that reproduction should be a part of every biblically functioning church, is the second chair. And so as people come to know the Lord from chair one, move from chair one to chair two, they're encountering the Savior and they're walking with him, and we're able to disciple them and put them around, you know, spiritual parents, people in the faith that can grow them and mature them. And that brings us to chair three, and that's chair over here, and that's the mature believer. That's the parent. That's the person in the midst of us that's maybe doesn't have gray hair. It could be a 15-year-old, but it's someone that God has matured, God has brought to that third chair and can be in a place of teaching and communication and really shepherding and caring for people and pastoring people, even if they don't get a direct deposit that says church as the second word, you know? And so we all have that opportunity, and it's about each of us just taking up that you know, the gift that God's placed inside of us. And so Hebrews 6:1, it says, therefore, leaving the elementary teachings behind, let us march on towards maturity. And so it takes a lot of driven people to have a church like this with all three chairs represented. We've got a third of people that are moving from place to place. And this is truly what an Acts book of Acts, if you want to boil it all down, that what a healthy church ecosystem looks like is the table. And we're serving the bread of life as a restaurant, as a place that's a rescue society from above. And so, you know, if you're in chair three, typically you don't have to advertise much. You know, you don't have to, if you have gray hair and you've lived a long life and you don't have to say, hey guys, I'm mature. You know, that's not necessary. You know, people can, yes, okay, you've lived way longer than I have. You have a lot more, you know, a lot more say so on how to do things just because you've lived life. And so if you're in chair three, you're similar to a Rolls Royce or a Ferrari. You don't have to advertise. People will know that you are a mature believer, and they will, that gift will make room for you, and opportunities to speak into people's lives will come your way, and whether you're 15 or 85, you know? And so I believe that that this truly is a great visual, a great representation of what each local church should look like. And so I believe that, you know, we all have the opportunity to operate like Jesus. You know, you think about Zacchaeus, and he was in that sycamore or sycamore tree, right? vertically challenged guy. But Jesus, you know, he said that, you know, he went to his house, and Zacchaeus made haste, for today I'm coming to your house, it says. The Bible says he received him joyfully. He opened the door of his house and had dinner with Jesus. And so this text is just so interesting because it almost directs you right to Revelation 3:20, where it says, Jesus says, I am the door and I'm knocking. You know, if anyone hears my voice and lets me in, I will eat with him and he with me. And then Jesus 6:35, I am the bread of life. And so when Zacchaeus, when he opened the door to his home, he was really inviting Jesus into his heart as well. There was something that was going on in him, and Jesus was willing to be around him. He was not saying, oh, man, you're contagious. You're a tax collector. You know, I can't be near you. But he really was after the first chair. Jesus was locking eyes with him, and Zacchaeus was locking eyes with Jesus, and he was realizing, I'm looking at the bread of life. I'm looking at what I've searched for all these years, the living water. And so there's another chair that I didn't really ask to be brought up here, but you can maybe think of it if you have kids, and that might be the high chair, right? And so the high chair is, so often these are people that maybe they are at the dinner table, but they haven't really taken up what you would say is discipling yourself in the Lord and allowing the Holy Spirit to be your counselor, your teacher. And so often they suck attention out of the local church because they want the pastor to be seated in a chair turned away from the other three chairs at the table, spoon-feeding them when they can spoon-feed themselves. They can feed themselves in the Word, and they don't have to come. They don't have to come. Yeah, get the high chair. They don't have to come. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But what's happening is, you know, their spiritual pot belly is full, you know, but they're not activating themselves, but they want a lot of attention. They want a lot of effort from the leadership. And it's like, no, you're here to serve. You are here to give back. You're here to be a part of the community. You're here to be part of the kitchen chaos, to kick up deacon-like feet, you know, kick up dust under your feet as you serve, and then, you know, reach others and disciple others. And that's really the model of Jesus. And so those that, you know, they might see, you know, you can ask yourself, what are they thinking? You know, they see the church as a more of a stained glass fortress or a holy huddle or, you know, an us for no more club. And it's really not about that. Luke 19:10 said, the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And so what we can do is we can put our name in the blank there. We can say, you know, Jonathan has come to seek and save that which was lost through Jesus living in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is my role on the earth each day, each morning that I get out of bed, as Todd would say, my boss says, to destroy hell for a living. And so we have that opportunity to not manifest ourselves, but manifest Jesus inside of us. And every day we have that decision to make. We can choose to be offended, or we can choose to live free from offense. We can choose, we have decisions to make, and Jesus has provided an opportunity for us to live free from fear of man, free from rejection, free from anxiety, free from, you know, all of the things that hold us back from sharing the bread of life with others. And so, you know, Luke 22, it says, Jesus himself was at a table, and he took a glass of wine and said, this wine represents my blood that I'm going to spill, and this bread is my body, And this totally went over the disciples' head. You know, they did not click well with them. They didn't really understand what he was saying. But today we have a greater picture, a greater understanding. They were caught off guard. And Jesus has clarified, he is the door, he is the bread, he is the living water. He is the desire of the nations. He is what the Old Testament was talking about from day one. He is the Alpha and Omega. You know, he's the beginning and the end. And, you know, there's so many people in our lives, I feel like, that are the Zacchaeuses of our lives. You know, they've perched in a tree, they're looking for Jesus, they're trying to figure out who he is, or, you know, and all they need to do, all they really need to experience is that invite, that text, that phone call, that email, very, very simple task of reaching out, inviting them to church, inviting them into your home, inviting them to coffee, inviting them to go to a sports game together or whatever, you know, just bringing people into your life and inviting them to encounter Jesus through you and to see the difference in you. But they're one invite away, and it doesn't take much to invite them to the table. It's just a matter of a simple invite. And so many of us, you know, we need to step out. We need to step out from passing out samples to the people already eating and already fed and under the shadow of the awning, the shade, you know, and step out into the heat where the shoppers and those that are famished and tired and have just are ready just to anything would just spark their interest. Would, you know, the bread of life is going to just radically shift them. If they just encountered just a small sample of it, they would make their way over, and the local church would explode, you know. And so many of us are one invite away from having other people experience that life transformation. And so whether that Zacchaeus, you know, it's a family member, a teammate, a coworker, a Starbucks barista, whoever that might be, the Lord, you know, I feel like is always highlighting people. And so we want to be responsive to that. We want to be really responsive to what he's saying to us about those people in our lives that maybe we've known about, or maybe we're just not sure what to do with, or maybe we're just overcomplicating what he's asked us to do of just loving them in a genuine, heartfelt way, living out radical generosity, just living a life of love and you know, treating them to something, or giving above and beyond for their birthday, or above and beyond, no matter how they've treated you, or just doing simple tasks that allow their hearts to be opened because you're representing Jesus with everything that you are. And so, you know, today I want to just find out from each of us, you know, where are we at here at the table? Where do you see yourself? You know, is it today a day when you haven't yet fully given your all to Jesus? You're still in the first chair. You haven't fully surrendered your life. You haven't fully said yes to him and fully put on the jersey, gotten off the bleachers and into the court and said, I'm going to be a full court follower. You've kind of just been observing. That might be you. And that's today's your day. Today is the day of salvation. Jesus is here. He's available. He's ready. He's willing. He wants you to be part of his family and provide eternal life and life more abundantly today and now. And so you have that opportunity today is to move from chair one to chair two. And maybe you're in chair two. Maybe you say, well, I'm not a baby Christian, or I prayed the prayer years ago, but maybe you haven't fully moved into that mature place where people in the church are really, really seeing you as someone that, man, I can trust them. I can count on them. I can lean on them. I can provide, send people to them. And I know those people are going to get taken care of. They're going to be loved. They're going to be taught, and they're going to expand the kingdom, you know, and I can trust that person. Maybe just in a chair of just attending and being a part of the weekend service. And maybe God's calling you into a new place of volunteerism, a new place of involvement, a new place of kicking up the dust, so to speak, and moving into that deacon element, that deacon role, whether it comes with a title and a church vote or not. You know, I'm going to serve, I'm going to give, I'm going to be a part of the restaurant and help people encounter Jesus. And so that might be you today. You know, you may feel God's tugging on me there, and I've been in that place, and I'm ready to make a change, and I'm ready to this week call the church or call whoever does baptisms here and get baptized, or, you know, I'm ready to go ahead and get a part of a small group or get a part of a volunteer team here, no matter if it's cleaning the windows and, you know, pushing the leaves away from the front doors I saw this morning. Whatever it is, you're giving your time, your talents, your energy to something that will outlast your lifetime, something that will outlast your time here on earth. It's just it goes away that quickly, the Bible says, just as a wind and as a vapor. And so we want to maximize every minute, every moment that we have. And every week, we have 52 weekends a year. This is the the Super Bowl. You know, weekend service is the Super Bowl for the local church. And then, of course, we go out from here and we share and spread it to others. And so we have that opportunity to move from this chair into that mature believer's chair. And so some of you might just want to experience more of, maybe you feel like you're, you know, a parent and you feel like you've been in that mature phase, but you're just not sure, okay, what's next? You know, what is God saying to me, and what am I supposed to be doing? I know that I've studied scripture. I know that I've lived the life and tried to live according to God's commands. And I know that I love people, but I just don't know where my next place is. And you feel like you're in that third chair, but you just want to be more activated. And I feel like God's saying, first, go out. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't take it outside the four walls. Live in the power and sound mind and love of Jesus, as the Bible says. So represent Jesus in that way. But even more than that, how can you disciple others? And are you waiting? Is there too much of a sense of waiting on leadership to point you out, and maybe not enough activation personally? No one's stopping you from a coffee with your Starbucks priest or whatever. You know, we were all encountered to be ministers of the gospel, to be those ministers of reconciliation. And so it's not about a hierarchy here at the church. It's about you living out your faith and you sharing it with others and redeeming the time for the days of evil, letting people know, you know, that today is the day of salvation and that today is a day to represent Jesus, to manifest him and not yourself, and to give your all to Christ's call for our all, you know. His provision is available, and God's people really want to have an opportunity to be poised for something that's on its way. And we see it, you know, in ministry and in our conferences and events, and people are waking up to who they are, and they're discovering who they are, and they're not being held back by the fear of man or what someone's going to think or rejection, or they're just stepping out, and lives are being completely transformed as the, you know, the healing of the eye, the healing of the ears, the healing just this week, you know. And so it's just because people are willing to redeem the time to, you know, 11:30 comes in these sessions. We literally tell them, you need to leave the building. Whatever you're doing, leave the building. We need you to go out, leave the four walls, and go into the community. And we don't reopen doors before the sessions. The doors are locked. We give them a seat saver card so that they're not preoccupied all day with trying to get the best seat in the room. And so when they come in the morning, they put the seat saver card down and they have that seat saver card for the whole day, because so often, you know, we'd spend a lot of time waiting in lines, just a waste of time. So we need to be outside the four walls. So we've done a lot of things strategically and intentionally with even our training events to make sure the Christians aren't just in holy huddles, but they're really going out and they're activating themselves, because that's where the lifestyle shift begins, is just stepping out and not being afraid. And so we'll pray, and I would love to, obviously, anybody that feels like God's directing you in a different chair, obviously, we would love to pray with you and leadership and everyone. We would love to pray with you no matter where you are. If that's rededication, if that's a first-time decision, or if you just really want to see the Lord move and use you more in 2018, and there's something fresh that you feel like he's calling you to in leadership and just in maturity. And so no matter what that is, you know, we have an opportunity to pray through that now as we're together and just minister to each other and invite people. So, you know, if you feel like maybe you've never made the first-time decision, you know, let's pray right now, and you're welcome to come, and we'll pray, and we'll just thank the Lord that you're entering into his family. If you want to rededicate, same thing. And we just believe that Jesus is here, and that this is a safe place, a place of family, and a place of love. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for everyone here, and God, we just thank you for every life, every destiny, every purpose, every plan that you have ordained since before the days that we were born. And God, we just thank you that you are redeeming the time. You're redeeming every moment, every minute, every second, anything that the locust has eaten, anything that was inefficient, anything that was wasted of our past time. God, we thank you for just moving again in our hearts, God, and just speaking to us about the first, the second, and the third chair. And so we just want to just pray a prayer together for anyone that's in that first chair that hasn't yet fully surrendered and received you as their Savior. And so everyone, just you can repeat, just say, Lord, I just thank you for the price that you paid on the cross. And I thank you that all the old things you said are passed away when I accept you. And I just receive the payment that you made I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I give you the keys to my life. I give you tax, title, and license to my life. And I thank you that I'm a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have been made new. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you for anyone that's in that second chair. God, we just thank you that they would just make a decision today. We just believe that every person in this room, we just ask that you would speak to them right now, God. Speak to them about volunteerism. Speak to them about their place in the local house, about their place in the kitchen chaos, in the restaurant, the local church. God, I thank you for activation. I thank you for just them stepping into the fullness of their gift, God, that their gift would make room for them, God, and that they would just move forward speedily this year, God, that they would not hold anything back, that any fears, any hindrances, any distractions would be gone. God, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to every heart, God, and that there would be decisions made this week, emails, phone calls, texts, whatever, time with you, God, where you would direct their steps, order their steps in a new place of activation, of involvement. God, and we thank you for that second chair, Lord, and we just pray as well for the third chair, God, the mature believers in the room. God, Lord, that they would step into a season of true spiritual parenting, true discipleship, truly wrapping their arms and extending the reach of the staff, extending the reach of the leadership team here, and becoming true ministers of reconciliation. God, reconciliation of love towards everyone they encounter. We just thank you for the empowerment that you gave them as your disciples to live it out each day. We just thank you for that. And we believe for this place to be ignited, to be changed, to radically transform this community, God, that identity would be a place of impact, and that the walls could not contain it, God, and that you would just release people into sharing in their communities and creative ideas of cookouts and lawn parties and things that we can take the church to the people, God, that you would really give us that creative inspiration, those garnishes for the table, for as we serve the bread of life, God, that you would give us that creative inspiration as the creator to really serve up the bread of life well and to represent you well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.